Good morning and happy new year to everyone. It's so good to see everyone and to be back with you for worship. We got in much later yesterday than we intended to, but it was only about 7:30, 8 o'clock, so it wasn't too bad. But Bjorn and the kids are home recuperating from vacation, as often happens. Our beautiful flower arrangement this morning is donated in honor of Ted and Jane McCown for what would have been their 70th wedding anniversary. And so, Sarah, thank you for sharing that with us. This morning, I have chosen a closing hymn that brings back very fond memories for me from some of my African classmates at Columbia Theological Seminary. As we march into the new year together, we will do so with God's light to guide us. And so we will sing both the English and the Zulu Hosa. So I will teach you the pronunciations when we get to that hymn. So choir, not to worry. So I will teach everyone how to say it, how to sing it, and then we will sing through both languages. I do this as a credit to my good friend from Zimbabwe, Theophilus Nenjarama, who first introduced me to this hymn. Theo and I graduated together in May, and he is now pursuing his PhD at Emory University. And he is an absolute wonderful example of what it means to march in the light of God. And so I hope you will help me honor him as we sing that final hymn together. At the conclusion of our service this morning, please stay if you're able and help us take down the greens. Now, my personal record has been to leave my own Christmas tree and decorations up past St. Patrick's Day, well into halfway through Lent. But I think it's probably best served to have lots of hands this afternoon to take it down here at the church. Our prayer group and lunch bunch will resume tomorrow. We will meet at our usual time. If you have been joining us and have gotten a little off track, we're going to be reading and discussing chapters 25 and 26 in our book by Barbara Brown Taylor, Always a Guest. And if you have not joined us before, we invite you to come. We meet at 11:30 on Mondays for prayer group, and then at noon up in Hollis Hall for our discussion. Also, if you've been joining us, please let me know if there is a specific book, either in the Hebrew Bible or the New Testament, that you'd be willing or interested in looking at deeper. And when we finish her book, we'll dive into another book together. Our ladies' lunch group will meet this Wednesday, January 8th, at 11:30 at Life Grounds. If you plan to attend, please contact Peggy Rollins to let her know so she can give those folks an accurate count of who's going to be there. We will be enjoying the same menu as last time with chicken salad, sandwiches, chips, and a cookie. I'm looking forward to it. So again, please let her know if you're planning to be there. Next Sunday, January 12th, please plan to remain after worship for our second Sunday fellowship luncheon. And again, please RSVP to the church to let us know how many are planning to be there to eat. And then after the luncheon, we will be packing our blessing bags. I'm really excited about this. The mission team has put this together. And we will be filling bags with items that are needed very much for people who are living on the streets, who are unhoused. And our hope is that you will come and help pack them, and that everyone, whether you can pack them or not, will have two or three of these bags in your car. And as you're driving around the community and you see someone in need, you can bless them with one of these gift bags. It is once again time for our dinner groups. This is a fun way to connect with other members from First Presbyterian for food and fellowship, which, as you can see from almost every announcement, we are really good at doing at this church. Presbyterians in general are great at food and fellowship. So please check the midweek news for more information on the dinner groups. And do we have any other announcements for the good of all? Then as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, the peace of Christ be with you all.
Arise, let us stand for the call to worship. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Come, worship the Lord of glory. God's praise among the nations. And let us pray. God, you placed a star in the sky to draw wise folk to the place of Christ's nativity. There you reveal the mystery of your eternal purpose for all humanity. God made flesh, born of Mary, opening to all the world the promise you made to Abraham and Sarah. Empower your church to be as the light of the star, that we may draw the world to the glory of Christ our Lord, through whom we pray. Amen. Be seated. In the light of Christ, we see the shadows of our world and of our hearts. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sins before God and one another, praying first in silence. And together we pray, merciful God, you have given light to the world in Jesus Christ, but we have preferred to live in darkness. Your justice protects the weak and distressed, yet we seek the shelter of privilege and power. Your righteousness redeems the poor and the needy, yet we seek the status of wealth and possessions. Your peace upholds the oppressed and defenseless, yet we seek the security of weapons and retribution. Forgive us our sins and lead us to true repentance, that we may trust you in all things. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
This is the good news. Christ is the light of the world, who grants forgiveness and healing of our sins. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, Sadie, I think it might just be the two of us. So if you're ready, come on up and join me. Hi, sweet girl. How are you? Guess what? You don't have any competition to sit right up next to me this time. How are you doing? You're doing good? Well, I have a question for you. So do you sleep with a nightlight? You do?
And white noise.
And white noise? Oh, that's good. Yeah, we do too at our house. So does everyone know what white noise is, but it's one of those sound machines so you can put on something so it makes it a little easier to sleep. And what does your nightlight look like?
When I fall asleep, it turns pink, and then when I wake up, it turns maybe green or...
Oh, wow.
Blue.
Oh, that's fun. So it changes colors throughout the night? That's really cool. Does it make, like, sparkles on the ceiling?
No.
No, but it changes pretty colors?
Yeah. One day I had one and it broke.
Oh, you had one time and it broke. Yeah, that can happen. So darkness at night can be a little bit spooky, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
One day when I was sleeping, I went to Mom and Daddy's bedroom and I saw the monster.
Oh, you thought you saw a monster? Yeah.
But it was just a dream.
It was just a dream. I'm so glad. Yeah, we're going to have to have assigned seats from now on and have everybody switch around because we're going to have you talk a little more often. So one of the things that we do, as you know, to kind of push back the darkness is to have lights, right? So I want to tell you a quick story. I'll try to keep it really quick. When I was little, not quite your age, a little bit older, I went on a vacation with my parents, and we went, and my brother, and we went to a cave. Have you been in a cave before?
Oh, no.
No. Oh, no. You're not ever going to go? Well, it's a lot of fun. But there was something a little scary that I didn't know was going to happen. And we were down in the cave, and there's all kinds of, it looks slimy, but it's not really slimy. And so there's lots of things growing down from the ceiling, and there's lots of things growing up from the floor. Stalactites and stalagmites.
And did you saw a monster?
There were no monsters in the cave, but lots of little creatures.
That's why I didn't want to go.
That's why you don't want to go?
I want to go. If I was in I'm never gonna go in there.
Oh, well, I hope you do go someday. So when I went in this cave, they did something we didn't expect. So we were looking around at all the formations, and we had a tour guide that was leading us through the cave, and we stopped at an area, and he flipped a switch on the wall, and it turned off every light in the cave. The entire place went pitch black. We could not see anything. I could hold my hand like this in front of my face, and I still couldn't see it. It was very spooky. I'm not afraid of the dark, but I was a little uncomfortable. I was covering, well, no, even doing like this, I couldn't see my hand at all. So all of the lights went out. It was very, very dark.
And then he switched it back on because he was trying to tell you that you can't see anything.
He almost did. So what he did before he switched all the lights back on is he had a little match, and he struck the match, and even that itty-bitty tiny little flame created enough light that we could see little shimmers on the walls and we could see the people standing next to us. Just an itty-bitty tiny flame in a huge cave.
Were you on a train or a roller coaster or a plane?
We've done all of those also, but this time we were just in the cave. Yeah. But so one little light can push back all of that darkness. That's how powerful light can be. Mm-hmm. Yep. All the people saw it. No, just my family. We went and we saw other people. So I'm going to give you something. It's a little piece of paper. It's a special kind of piece of paper.
Are we going to keep it?
Yes, you can keep it. In fact, I'm going to give you some extras to take with you after. So this is a black piece of paper. You see that? And so this represents the darkness that sometimes comes into our life. And it can be sadness. It can be fear. Oh, good. You put a snowflake on it. Yeah. Yeah, that's much better. So what do you think God's light looks like? So when I was in the cave, he lit a match and it had just this little bitty tiny flame. What do you think God's light looks like?
Brown?
Yeah. Maybe lots and lots of colors like your nightlight?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you this. Is this a pencil?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not. It's just a stick. There's no pencil on it. I'm going to give that to you, and I want you to draw what you think God's light looks like. So you just put that down on the platform over there, and I want you to draw what you think God's light looks like. Use the stick. And I'm going to draw what I think it looks like. What do you notice? What's happening?
Lalo.
Yeah, you have yellow, I have red. Keep going. Do whatever you think God's light looks like. I did big swirls, starting in the center and then just bursting outward. What did you do? Oh, that looks amazing.
I'm doing a little tiny.
You're doing a little tiny? Oh, that's great. You did swirls and yeah, and it's rainbow, isn't it? There's lots of colors and all kind. Oh, and lots of mess, because I'll clean that later. Yep. And so this is what we can do. And I'm going to give you some of these to take with you after, okay? Here, I'll take the stick back, though. Can I have the stick back? Thanks. So what we do, because sometimes, like I said, life can get difficult. Oh, thank you. I can have the snowflake. Thanks. Oh, thanks. I'll give it to Lavinia. So sometimes life gets tough, right? We can get sad. We can get our feelings hurt. But when you take God's light with you, no matter where you go, the darkness can never get to be too much, like in that cave.
If you go to a cave, take a light.
Sermon's going to be really short later, I promise. Yeah. All right, will you pray with me?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
For giving us the light.
For giving us the light.
Of your son, Jesus.
Of your son, Jesus.
Help us to follow his example.
Help us to follow his example.
And share your light.
And share your light.
With all who need your love.
Who are you?
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you so much for helping me this morning. She's been saving up. Our first scripture, oh, sorry, let's pray first. I'm not used to doing this part of the service. Spirit of God, in the proclamation of your word, reveal to us the hidden mystery of your love in Christ, and strengthen our faith that we may approach you with boldness. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate Epiphany, when the truth of the Christ child was revealed to Gentiles for the first time in the form of these magi, or wise men, from the east. These wise men had never read the prophecies of Isaiah. They were not familiar with the stories of King David or the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yet they followed a star that led them to Bethlehem in Judea, to a manger and a babe in swaddling clothes. Much of what we think we know about these magi is speculation, and often comes from hymns, stories, and even movie representations. Even the early Christians commented on who these men might have been, giving them names and describing their physical features to show that they represented the diversities of human ethnicities and cultures. They've been described as astrologers, mapping the planets and stars and predicting world events. After having traveled once again to Southwest and Central Florida and back again, I cannot help imagining that the Magi used GPS on their journey westward over the sand dunes and deserts of the ancient Middle East. I wonder how much time it took them on their chosen route, and how many times their GPS would have to recalculate when a camel decided to veer off in another direction, or tell them to do U-turns. Did they deviate from their route and stop at the Starbucks down the road? How many traffic jams did they encounter when one caravan sideswiped another, or a herd of goats blocked the narrow road through the Zargos Mountains? Were the Persians doing road construction during peak traveling seasons? How many rest stops did they find in the Arabian desert? And what treats did they find in their vending machines? And most importantly, how might the story in Matthew have changed if they had opted to take the bypass around Jerusalem instead of getting on the HOV lane straight into Herod's temple? Regardless of the routes that they took or what they may have encountered along the way, the Magi made a similar journey to Judea to that of the exiled people of Israel to whom Isaiah prophesied in chapter 60. When the prophet says to Jerusalem, "Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms," it was God's promise to return those exiles to their holy city. They too were told to arise and shine, for their guiding light had arrived. The sons and daughters of Zion would return, along with the abundance and wealth of the nations, carried on the backs of young camels, carrying gold and frankincense, and singing praises to the Lord. This hope for abundance and plenty would not be contained or hoarded for the people of Israel, but would be for all people. Nations shall come to your light and kings to bring to the brightness of your dawn. It was a rallying cry for victory over their captives and a chance to reclaim their place in the international world. Arise, shine. The time has come to return to the land of your ancestors. The wait is over. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. Whether we realize it or not, we are living in a time of exile, a time of dissension, of feeling disconnected to who we are as a people. The senselessness of the recent attacks in New Orleans and Las Vegas, both carried out by veterans, leaves us grasping for answers once again. In the midst of a contentious political transition, Jimmy Carter, beloved by millions of Americans, has passed away. He was perhaps the greatest example of a past president of the United States continuing to live out his call to rise up and follow God's light, to be God's light in a hurting world. Friends, we are now the ones to whom Isaiah speaks. In light of the revelation of the Christ child, we are called to follow God's light, to be God's light in this world. Matthew urges us in chapter 5 to let our lights shine so that all people may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. The people of Israel joyfully followed God's light to Jerusalem. The Magi followed God's light to Bethlehem. Where will you take God's light this year? To whom will you share the good news of the Christ child, of a God who dwells among us, who feels our pain and delights in our joys, who wipes away our tears and lifts up our eyes to gaze upon his face? Friends, the light of God no longer dwells in a star. It does not guide us to a specific latitude or longitude. The light of God has been given to you and dwells within your hearts and shines through your eyes, so that every life you encounter may experience the light and love of God through you. May it be so in 2025 and beyond. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join me as we affirm our faith together using the Nicene Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. God intends to unite all creation so that all may share in the promises of God's new reign. Therefore, with gratitude and joy, let us render tributes and bring gifts, for we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in Christ.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Hallelujah! The Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give God the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. You formed us in your image and set us in this world to love and serve you. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the celestial choirs and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever sing to the glory of your name. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son. You sent him into this world to bring freedom to the captives of sin and to establish justice for the oppressed. He came among us as one of us, taking the lot of the poor, sharing human suffering, dying an unjust death. We rejoice that in his dying and rising again, you set before us the sure promise of new life, the certain hope of a heavenly home where we will sit at table with Christ our host. Amen. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "When you eat of this bread, do so in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." Friends, this is not my table. This is not the table of First Presbyterian Church. This is the Lord's table, and all are welcome here. Come forward and be filled. Let us pray. God, our hope, we give you thanks that you have given us this foretaste of the justice, righteousness, and peace of your promised new creation. Strengthen us with this heavenly food as we seek to serve your holy realm. Lead us to live in joyful expectation of the coming again in glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Loving God, through Christ, you call us into your covenant with Abraham and Sarah. We pray for your church throughout the world, that it may be a faithful witness, declaring your wisdom to all authorities. The wise men came to King Herod in trust, but he betrayed their trust and perpetuated unspeakable evil. We pray for the leaders of governments around the world that they may reject the way of Herod and exercise their authority in truth, justice, and mercy. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus fled before the wrath of Herod and became refugees in Egypt. We pray for all who suffer from political oppression, injustice, or war, and especially for refugees. Joseph dreamed a future for his son and obeyed your will for his family. We pray for all families, that they may live in peace according to your will. The Holy Family lived with neighbors and received help from strangers. We pray for our neighborhoods, that they may be communities of human flourishing, offering kindness to strangers. We ask all these things that we might live as heirs of your promise and walk always in your light. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now it's time. I'm so excited. I was not a music teacher. Remember, I was a history teacher. So please forgive me if this does not go well. So we will be singing this hymn in both English and in the Zulu Xhosa. And as I said earlier in the service, my friend Theo first taught this to me during one of our chapel services. And so we'll go over the Zulu first. The first word, and you'll see there's a pronunciation printed in your bulletin. The first word is Siyahamba. Say that with me, Siyahamba, Siyahamba. Siyahamba means that we are marching. So when we sing in English, we are marching. In the Zulu, we sing Siyahamba, Siyahamba. And then here's where it looks really complicated, but I promise it's not bad. Kukenyeni kwenkos. Or in this way, it's kukenyen kwenkos. I think I always add the E, and I don't think it's supposed to be there. So ku ken yen kwenkos. Kukenyen kwenkos. Okay, so let's try that all together. Siyahamba, kukenyen, kwenkos. Now let's do the whole thing. Are you ready? Siyahamba, kukenyen, kwenkos. You guys are awesome. Okay, you ready? We'll do it in English first so you can get the tune and the rhythm, and then we'll tackle the Zulu. Okay, go ahead. Thank you. for all those at home, I turned my microphone back on, so I apologize, but I hope it gave you an idea. Friends, God has shown you what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Therefore, go out into the world in peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And know that the strong, sure love of God, the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the intimate, renewing presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.